There's nothing that beats hard work. There's some individuals like, you know, I'm going to get a million views on YouTube and then I've made it. And yeah. I know we pay attention to analytics on the label side so much. Right. I get it. I really do. But nothing beats that fan connection. Nothing beats that experience when I see somebody performing live and they kill it. They are incredible. I'm going to keep coming to that show and I'm going to be excited to see them on a festival. And that's where we as promoters, we have to stay in the culture. You know, have to understand who's hot, who's coming. It's easy. It's super easy to throw $1 million at this person or that person if you're a large promoter. But where you win is in the trenches, using a sports analogy. But when you can get those artists who are bubbling and emerging right before they make it, but you were that festival that had it and you introduced 1,000 fans to that artist, you're now one of the more reputable festivals. You're the festival I want to come back and give my funds to.
This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over 1 million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com. What's going on? Welcome to the New Music Business. I'm your host, Ari Herstand, author of How to Make It in the New Music Business, the book, third edition coming very soon. Today, my guest is Brandon Pankey. He is the Vice President of Business Development and Operations of Live Nation Urban. And at Live Nation, he has worked on a bunch of festivals. We get into all the festivals that he has produced and developed, some from the ground up over the last 10, 15 years. He runs a TV network that has just launched. He was actually one of Ebony's Power 100 of last year. And he's on the Ebony's Power 100 list from last year, from 2021, as featured as an impactful Black entrepreneur. He's based in Philly. And we talk about kind of the live music space, where it's at now, how artists can, you know, succeed in their local hometown live music market, or really just get on the radar of festival promoters and talent buyers at venues and at festivals, and also just kind of the philosophy. We get philosophical in this, which was great, just kind of behind how artists should be approaching their careers and what goes into the development of an artist. I would encourage you to stick to the end. He has a great answer to the final question. And we also talked about the Black Tour Directory that Live Nation Urban put together a couple of years ago of Black professionals and Black-owned companies in the live music space. And we dug into the term urban, because it is a controversial term in the music industry, as the Grammys and the major labels did away with it. Live Nation has embraced it, and we talk about that. We also talk about some education initiatives that he's working on. So this is a great conversation. If you're interested in the live music space, I think you're really going to dig it. As always, you can find us at Ari's Take on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can find me at Ari Herstand on Instagram and Twitter. We've linked a bunch of Brandon's initiatives in the show notes, like Apex and the Black Tour Directory. Visit ariestake.com. Get on that email list. That is where you're going to get the most up-to-date information about the new music business and everything we have going on. Leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you can. That really helps. If you just want to pause it real quick and give us a quick 5-star review, if you've listened to a few of these episodes and you dig it and you think we should keep going, that would be really helpful. I love reading those reviews. But right now, just pause it and click that follow or subscribe button so you can get us in your feed. All right, let's kick into the show. Brandon Pankey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, man. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So this is so you're at Live Nation. Your title, I believe, is Vice President of Business Development and Operation, Live Nation Urban. Can you explain to me your role? And I'm actually you know, this is my ignorance. I was not familiar that Live Nation had subsets and different breakoff groups. And sure. And I guess the difference between Live Nation Urban and Live Nation, and if there are other Live Nation subsets, I'm curious to know about that. But give me the overview of this Live Nation.
For sure. So let's start with Live Nation Urban. And I think it's a testament to Michael Rapino understanding that, you know, leadership is needed in all facets. And there are a lot of joint ventures within Live Nation. This one was founded and started by Sean G, who was the president of Live Nation Urban, and really just looking at sort of the voids or the holes, you know, within the live entertainment space. And in that was really a focus that really super served audiences for hip hop, R&B, and gospel. And that was sort of the genesis of what Live Nation Urban was and founded in 2017. I was there from inception, Sean G, myself, and, you know, showing the power of the brand. Heather Lowry, who is now the CEO of her own joint venture within Live Nation, called Femme Forward. And so my role is really helping to develop new businesses as business development and really help the operations of each of the festivals and events and platforms that we have. I mean, that ranges, you know, we have a ton of festivals, you know, artist curated festivals like the Roots Picnic in Philadelphia, Little Louisiana Fest in New Orleans, Little Wayne's Festival, her festival, Lights On Fest in the Bay Area. We also have partnerships that we do, Broccoli City Festival in Washington, D.C., in partnership with two amazing founders, Brandon McCarron and Marcus Allen, and then also One Music Fest in Atlanta, the incredible, you know, Jay Carter. On top of that, this year in 2022, we launched Strength of a Woman, which is our partnership with Mary J. Blige in Atlanta. And since inception, we've had an amazing gospel festival with Kirk Franklin called Exodus Music Fest, Music and Arts Fest, excuse me, in Dallas, Texas. And I know I'm missing a couple of the things that we do, but it's really a testament to the growth and the strength of the company that we've been able to grow and expand so quickly in the past 5 years at this point.
Cool. And what is your involvement with the festivals? What do you work on?
For sure. So, the Roots Picnic to me is of course, the most special. That's, you know, I've been working with Sean in various capacity since 2006. And, you know, the Roots Picnic was founded in 2008 by the Roots, you know, Amir Thompson, Tariq Black Thought Trotter, Sean G, and Richard Nichols. And I was there from inception. That's 2008 to now, sort of 15 years. So, you know, I've seen my role grow and grow and grow. And now I'm one of the, you know, festival producers. So that's really the one that I would probably say I'm all the way in 1,000%. You know, with Broccoli City, it's more of a partnership with the two co-founders, but really there from an operational perspective, an idea perspective. We have a strong booking team led by Mari Davies, you know, Michael Carney, and Janice. And our team is just super strong, right? And cool. So you know, those are just two. With each of our festivals, it's different, but I'm always there in the middle from an operations perspective.
Cool. I'm curious when it comes to, let's talk about the Roots Picnic for a little bit. So, you know, big names on this. Mary J. Blige was on this one from this last year. WizKid, Jasmine Sullivan, Kamasi Washington, obviously the Roots, Masego, Chief Keef. It goes on and on. Big names, Robert Glasper. So what about the, I'm interested in kind of, so this is based in Philly. Is there a place on this festival or any of the festivals, but specifically this one, for kind of emerging talent? And if so, how do those artists get on your radar or anyone at the festival's radar? How do you welcome in the emerging talent that may not be represented by a big agent that Live Nation works with?
No, for sure. For us, particularly with the Roots Picnic, you know, it is our love letter to Philadelphia. So, you know, when we say that, that's not just a gimmick or a joke. We put on young musicians in Philadelphia. You know, this year, you know, we had Suzanne Christine, Akil Dawood. You know, we had a few others that we had there that were just young and emerging. And we had DJs that were there, DJ Active, DJ Diamond Cuts. They are Philly mainstays. Cool. We have to have young emerging artists on this. And this is just the lifeline and the ecosystem of the business, right?
Cool. Yeah.
Our goal with Live Nation Urban, one of the main tenets is, okay, we start you here. You're on the bottom line year one. As we continue to help and develop your career, you're now on that middle byline, you know, year five, year seven, you're one of our headliners. And, you know, an example of that is Ari Lennox, who, yeah. you know, was, you know, someone that we started with younger in her career. And now she was one of the headliners at Broccoli City this year. And so that's cool. sort of the vision. And we mm-hmm. always, myself, I live in Philadelphia. You know, I'm going to shows, I'm checking out who's hot. I'm getting recommendations from those, you know, I'm not the youngest anymore. So I'm getting recommendations from those who are out and a part of culture. And we all do sure. that, you know, respectively. So it, mm-hmm. we could not survive as a company. We could not say we represent culture if yeah. we didn't tap in and support emerging artists.
So if there are these emerging artists specifically in Philly that are listening to this right now and they're like, man, I want to get on Brandon's radar. Yeah. I want to yeah. be that line one on next year's Root City.
Yep. How,
what is your recommendation specifically to these artists on what they should be doing?
They should be working. They should be hustling. They should be getting to know all of the local promoters, all mm. of the local booking agents in their city, because it's always important, you know, particularly in this culture, in this climate. It's funny. I just had another panel discussion today. And we were talking about, you know, sort of where the album is in 2022. And, you know, if you're on TikTok and you're listening, looking at a dance, you may know the song and it's popular, but you don't know who the artist is.
Right.
And so it really is about artist development, and where you get your core audience and your fan base is always, always, always going to be through live. So I would always, you know, in Philadelphia, reach out to the TLA, which is 1,000 capacity venue, reach out to the Foundry, which is 500 capacity, mm-hmm. and try to get on, be an opener for some of these yep. other acts. You know, there's something called consignment where, you know, if I'm an opening artist, you'll give me 100 tickets, sell yep. these tickets. And if you can sell out 100 tickets through consignment as a local promoter, I'm like, wait a minute, is this somebody I should have opening up for the next show and the next show? And then mm-hmm. now you're on the radar of a Live Nation, of an AEG or another promoter. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you can slowly start to matriculate and be in some more in those rooms and start to build your core fan base. That's cool. the way for me from a live perspective. Work, yeah. work, yeah. make sure that you're, you know, you're doing everything you need to do in your power to succeed.
Yeah. That's really refreshing. Or reach out to Brooklyn Bowl. Paul Bakker was on the show yeah. here. He's the talent buyer at the Brooklyn Bowl Philly yeah. and Brooklyn. We just had him a couple weeks ago on the show. So it's really refreshing to hear that live is important. Obviously, you're a little biased, but you work in the live space, but it is refreshing. And I do hear that from managers and from label execs and label A&R. It's even though the industry is so obsessed with TikTok right now and everything that everyone's talking about is TikTok, it's, you know, like you said, a lot of the kids might know the song, they don't know the artist. And that seemingly, that fame is fleeting. And you could be, you know, flash in the pan moment. And then even if they might come check you out live, and if you can't bring it live, then you're going to lose that audience before you even get them. And so kind of the thing, you know, luck is merely when preparation meets opportunity. And so grinding it out live, like you said, then when it gets to the point where maybe you do get some bubbling up online and people want to come check it out, or maybe Brandon happens to be in the room for your show, but you've played 100 shows before that and you know how to bring it live, you know how to work a room, and then that opportunity presents itself and then you can bring it.
Yeah, I think you said it. There's nothing that beats hard work. There's not, literally in this industry, and I know you see, you know, there's some individuals like, you know, I'm going to get a million views on YouTube and then I've made it. And yeah. I know we pay attention to analytics on the label side so much. Right. I get it. I really do. But nothing beats that fan connection. Nothing beats that experience when I see somebody performing live and they kill it. They are incredible. I'm going to keep coming to that show and I'm going to be excited to see them on a festival. And that's where, you know, we as promoters, we have to stay, you know, in the culture, stay under, you know, have to understand who's hot, who's coming. It's easy. It's super easy to throw $1 million at this person or that person if you're a large promoter.
Right.
It's easy. It is what it right. is. But where you win is in the trenches. You know, I'm using a sports analogy, but when you can get those artists who are bubbling and emerging right before they make it, but you were that festival that had it and you introduced 1,000 fans to that artist,
yep.
you're now one of the more reputable festivals. You're the festival I want to come back and give my, you know, $200 for a 2-day or 3-day ticket to. So, or yes. you know, my funds to. So, you know,
yep.
it's important.
I mean, festival can be a great discovery mechanism. And that's the thing. I mean, it's so much more impactful when you discover something in the live space than when you're just swiping on your phone. And when you're there, you have this electrifying experience in the physical realm. And so that's going to stay with you a lot longer. And people kind of disperse from the festivals with their favorite acts that sure they were going there to see, but also the ones that they discovered. There's always the, like, who did you see? It's like, oh yeah, you know, I saw Mary J, I saw the Roots, and it's like, but I caught this new DJ and I caught this new artist that I never knew about, and that, and they're Philly based, and like, that's where the conversation gets really exciting, and that can actually spread much quicker, especially, you know, word of mouth and local. And because we're so obsessed with our phones and internet and socials and all that stuff, yeah, I think sometimes we lose track of just that organic growth and that organic, you know, spreading of the word of mouth, which is kind of the oldest way to share information, and it still works.
And I would say, arguably, and even now, I was going to say before social media, before all of the technology, but even now, the intimate performance, that emerging artist that you see with 200 people in your local club or your small theater, that's the original NFT. That's the original non-fungible token, because only you and those 200, 300 people add that experience and can share that experience. And that's why I will always vouch for the live music experience. Always.
Absolutely. I still have those ticket stubs, those paper ticket stubs from the early artists that I saw. I got them framed up, and it's like, man, it's so cool to see them in the small clubs, and then they blow up, and that, you know, you want to be there for that in the small festivals. Cool. You know, something that I thought was interesting and tremendously helpful. One of the good things that came out of 2020 and a lot of the initiatives to kind of support the Black community and the culture was the Black Tour Directory that Live Nation Urban put together. I mean, for one, there just aren't that many directories, period, for live personnel. And you kind of like, oh, it's my friend, you got to know that. And that also presents a problem when you're only turning to your community and your inner circles. And that, you know, is like kind of where a lot of the nepotism historically in the industry has come from, is because people just, like, you know, want to work with their referrals and who they know. And unfortunately, there's still to this day is not really that many tour directories that we can turn to. And so I appreciated seeing that there's the Black Tour Directory, because now there's no excuses really anymore to not be able to find the talent. Can you tell me about putting that together and just the intentions of what that is?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, here's the thing. Let me take a step back, right? Sure. And I think, you know, we get upset. And when I say we, I'm going to say, you know, minorities or African-Americans, you know, because there is a, we call it the boys club, or, you know, certain levels of nepotism in the industry. But if all of your friends look one certain way, that's all you know. And so that's the first piece. I don't necessarily think people are purposely trying to box others out. It's just, you don't know who you're boxing out because you've never been in those different communities. So that's one. You know, I think two, the Black Tour Directory was started. I mean, 2020 was such a groundswell for, I think, understanding different cultures, understanding the Black community a little bit more. And so we, you know, as Live Nation Urban, took it upon ourselves. And I want to give a special shout out to Jen Smith, who, you know, runs our urban marketing at Live Nation, and also Naija Burris, who at the time ran the digital marketing for Live Nation Urban, but now is at Spotify, because those were the two amazing Black women who actually came up with the Black Tour Directory. I think myself and Sean G, you know, helped. But those were the two that spearheaded this, that took it to where it needed to be. And so I'm going to make sure that they give, you know, I give all of the kudos to what they did. And it's important. I mean, there are so many, you know, and I'm giving, you know, production jobs, audio engineers and carpenters and production managers and tour managers that we know within our circle. But guess what? Their skills can carry over for any genre, whether that's hip hop, R&B, whether that's country, whether that's rock. And so it's important for us. It was so important to say, hey, these individuals are skilled. It does not matter the genre. It does not matter the artist that they're working with. Please, you need to get to know them, because if we're going to create a more diverse space, a more diverse industry, particularly in live, then we need to, you know, let's walk it and talk it. And that's why we formed that Black Tour Directory, because we need to walk and we need to show individuals that, hey, these people are here. They are incredible. And you have access to them as well.
It's great. There's lists of tour managers, production managers, sound engineers, lighting, stage, set designers and riggers, stage managers and techs, travel agents, catering, production equipment vendors, bus drivers, tour accountants, security, everything. And I noticed some familiar names on here, Felicia Bennett, who is also on the show, you know, and there, so it's great. And the list is very wide ranging. I mean, it's, you know, it's nice to see that there is just this directory, and that Live Nation kind of stepped up and, you know, used your expertise to in this kind of niche of the industry, which is so needed. Now, you know, speaking of, 2020 and things that kind of came out of the groundswell, I'm curious because, you know, the Grammys and all the major labels did away with the term urban. Mm-hmm. They kind of nixed that. Live Nation didn't. I'm curious if you had those conversations and just your take on this. I want to learn.
Yeah, no, we've had the conversation. For us, urban is more of a psychographic than demographic. When you say urban, you're talking about urban communities. We're talking about individuals that live, that are part of what I want to call it, the urban diaspora, which is not just Black. It's not just brown. You know, if you are in New York and you are in Brooklyn, you are a part of an urban community. Mm. We are reaching out. We are supporting and developing Black artists for multicultural communities. And so that's why the word urban is so important on our end. It wasn't to say it's only Black music for Black people. It was making sure that we elevate Black musicians, Black production personnel, and elevate everyone in this live space to support the multicultural community, because we all go to shows, we all enjoy shows. We just wanted to make sure that we did it for the highest level for African-Americans.
And so the term urban and why you've kind of maintained it and kept it, and it's not, I mean, I guess, where do you stand when on the commentary from people that were outspoken about the term, saying that, you know, this kind of marginalized the communities by and like kind of, you know, I was looking at this. It's like, all right, right. Like, what does urban mean? And typically, you know, historically it meant Black. But there's, you know, history within the music industry where you start from like race music, which was way back in the day, and then it evolved to like rhythm and blues, R&B. And it was like that, all different terms for Black. And I'm, you know, and that then evolved into urban, which was like seemingly what that was. And it didn't, you know, it kind of kept it on the sidelines. But what you're saying is that you're developing the talent, the Black talent for the multicultural community, for the urban landscape, or break it down a little bit more for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, again, it's supporting Black culture for multicultural audiences. And so here's the thing, I'll be honest with you. I can actually understand why individuals or why organizations are upset with the term. Like, I personally, I understand it. Sure. I think ultimately Live Nation Urban, all of these other organizations are all working toward the same goal. At the end of the day, we can redefine what any word means if it means that we are creating successful Black executives, successful Black musicians in this industry. We can argue about a word. Let's make sure we're all on the same page when it comes to the end result. And that's what we're all working toward.
That's great. That's really, really well put. Cool. I'm curious about, I mean, we're obviously very big at Ari's Take about education. You know, our whole mission is about educating the next generation and this generation, and just providing tools and resources and knowledge, because that is a way to empower artists and any individual in the industry. If you can empower them with knowledge, they have their own autonomy, and they won't be taken advantage of as much because they understand, you know, the landscape. So talk to me about Dash, this education initiative that you've been working on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So true story. So Dash was founded in 2005. One of my first internships were with two music managers who are now mentors and friends, Michael McArthur and Jerome Hips. And they said, look, you know, we went to a funeral. When we got there, the minister said, when you're born, there's a date. When you die, there's a date. But what's that dash in the middle stand for? And that was sort of the genesis of Dash, Destined to Achieve Successful Heights. And really, it was to give back, to teach students about the business of entertainment. You know, a lot of young people, you know, they want to be rappers, or they want to be singers, or they want to be actors, but they don't understand, when you look at that Black tour directory, how many lighting directors there are, how many audio engineers there are. And, you know, these lighting engineers or video directors can make $3,500, $4,000 a week on, you know, a major artist tour, and make a really great living working on successful tours throughout the year.
Yeah,
that's what the emphasis and the genesis of Dash was. I actually thought I was only going to work with Sean for 1 year. I, you know, we had applied to The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation received a planning grant to start a high school in Philadelphia. So I thought I was going to be the youngest CEO of a school ever and, you know, go live my life as an educator, because I care just as much about education, if not more, than I do about the actual music industry space that I'm in. And so, you know, it's been something that we've done for years. And, you know, at this point, it has been for about 17 years.
Yeah.
And we're in schools and, you know, in Philadelphia and Baltimore, and just really teaching young people, giving them internship opportunities, and really helping them grow and thrive in the industry behind the scenes.
Real quick, I want to let you know about Too Lost. Too Lost is a new distribution company to the space. And let me tell you, I am very impressed with them. I got a full deep dive demo with the founder, and yeah, they're very innovative. And when you come into the distribution space at this stage with how crowded it is, you better be innovative, and they are. Yes, they will get your music out to Spotify, Apple Music, all the places, plus 450 other outlets around the world. They do not take a commission. This is why 300,000 artists and labels have already used them. They've already distributed 7 million songs. They offer payment splitting, and they don't charge your collaborators for this service for the payment splitting. They will just pay your collaborators directly for free. They have publishing administration with BMG, so you know it's legit. A lot of distributors have fallen into trouble with using some other less than legit pub admin services. Well, Too Lost is partnered with BMG. You know it's legit. They offer instant royalty advances. This is something that's very cool. And if you have historical streaming data and you need just a bulk payment up front, they can see how much your music has earned in the past. I'm like, all right, we think we know what you're going to earn in the next 3 years. Here's a check for $100,000 or whatever it will be. And you can just click a button and you get that distributed and into your account immediately. They do lyrics and credits distribution for free. They have a very innovative analytics platform where, yes, you will see real-time analytics for Spotify, Apple Music, but also Pandora, Deezer, SoundCloud, and Peloton. They're the only ones that do Peloton. They also have a service where you can search the internet wherever your music is being used, and it will just show you a chart of everywhere, every TikTok video, everywhere, every YouTube video, everywhere your music is possibly being used. I've never seen this before. That was very cool. They'll register with Sound Exchange, and they have a fraud prevention tool, and they're doing fraud prevention. So if you're worried about your music, you know, getting a bot attack or something like that and getting ripped down, which we've seen is a big issue, they have fraud prevention tools that are better than most other distributors that I have seen. Check out Too Lost. You can just go to toolost.com. Use the promo code Ari's Take for 3 months free and try them out. Let them know what you think. How does it work? How can a student, do they apply to be part of the program? Yeah. How does this work?
Usually we are contracted through individual school districts.
Okay.
But in 2023, we are actually, this is a spoiler, but we're working on having our own sort of building where we can have, you know, kids come in, actually not even necessarily apply. We want to make it sort of like Boys and Girls Club for for music and for music technology. And so, you know, we're actually working with the School District of Philadelphia. There are buildings that just aren't being used for schools, quite honestly. And, you know, we're potentially going to be taking over one of those buildings and hopefully building, you know, let's call it the 22nd century version of the next music industry executives.
I love that. So cool. And how can people check out Dash, the Dash program?
Absolutely. Go to www.dashprogram.org to learn more information.
Cool. That's great. Yeah. We're jumping around a bit because you do so much and you kind of have your hands in a lot of different things, but it's so fascinating to me. Did I see a TV network coming up? What's that all about?
All right, I'm going to tell you about that. Let me give you the theory in my mind.
Okay.
So music is always the heart, right?
Okay.
And when you think about the heart, there are many ventricles that come from the heart that create the entire body. So music is the center of everything. So music live, music education, content has always been a love of mine. I always said, Ari, if I was like taller, a little bit more handsome, I would have probably been an actor because I love the medium. You know, I'm still one of the few that are in a movie theater right now, you know, on a random Tuesday night, just watching yes. a movie on the big screen, because that's just my passion. Yeah. And so in dealing with artists for so many years, you know, they always have ideas beyond just performing on a stage. And if you look at the current landscape, 50 Cent has built an entire career off of TV shows on the Starz Network, a power universe. Lady Gaga, you know, with A Star Is Born, with House mm-hmm. of Gucci. I just saw today, Vince Staples just signed a deal for a new show based on his life on Netflix. Wow. Kid Cudi has an animated series. Artists have always, I mean, go back to Ice Cube with Friday. Artists have always right. been in this right. meeting. And so I wanted yes. to create a network that specifically focused on artists developing content, whether it's scripted, unscripted, documentaries, whatever it is, licensed. Cool. And here it is, Apex. Artists presented experiences. You know, I have patience. I've had it in my mind since 2014. Mm-hmm. And so to finally see it come to fruition has been really incredible. We launched September 16th. And, you know, I'm super excited about what we're doing. We've partnered with Issa Rae's record label, Radio. They have an artist interview series. We have a second artist interview series with Stacey Muhammad, who has directed a ton of TV shows. And this is one of her executive produced shows. I have documentaries. I partnered with Mercury Studios, which is an arm of Universal Music Group. So documentaries ranging from Amy Winehouse to Tupac to Duran Duran.
Cool. You know,
just to show the breadth and depth of music. We have a scripted comedy series. There's a bunch that we have that, you know, I'm not going to get into, but just know that it is something that is absolutely a passion of mine. And I'm super excited about what this next era will be.
That's awesome. We actually had Benoni Tego of Radio Network on the show. That's very cool. I was looking up some of the shows that were coming out. How do we watch this? By the time this is airing, people will be able to tap in.
We're starting off on iOS or Android, download the Apex app, and then we may have a distributor in a couple months that I'll be announcing that will get us in X amount of millions of homes, but we'll announce that in let's call it 60 to 90 days.
So amazing. Exactly. So I could potentially watch it on my Apple TV someday.
Absolutely. Okay. Sooner than you think.
Great. All right. Mom's the word. But nice. Sweet. So I want to kind of take it back to the emerging indie artist. That's kind of, you know, the foundation of our industry. And you know, a lot of the people listening to this right now are indie artists, are emerging artists, or managers. Now, when it comes to the you know, now that things are opening back up, you know, fewer tours are being canceled here and there. I'm curious from the promoter's perspective, because Live Nation, for those who are not familiar, Live Nation is one of the, if not the largest promoter. The largest promoter running and essentially, you know, owning and operating music venues and festivals around the country, around the world. And, you know, but first off, let's zoom out a little bit. Can you break down just from like a very macro sense of like the operations of Live Nation as a promoter, just for somebody who doesn't really understand maybe what a promoter does, what Live Nation does, just to kind of grasp it. And then I want to get deeper into kind of how artists can take advantage of it.
So when you say, just so I'm clear, the operation of Live Nation, I mean, here, I can tell you this. Live Nation is the largest promoter of live shows in the world. And so we're seeing promoting a show, you know, just from step by step. There is an artist that wants to perform in a particular venue. They will work with a Live Nation. They will receive something called a guarantee. A guarantee is basically what the fee that artist will receive. There are different variations of that where it could be a guarantee versus deal, where instead of you receiving, you know, X amount of dollars, you'll do a versus deal where you're betting more on yourself. Where it's like, look, you'll receive what we make, you know, minus expenses.
Cut at the door.
And at the door. And so there are ways that deal works out. The artist goes, performs, they receive a check from this, you know, from this promoter. The promoter will then make their money off of tickets and potentially some other ancillaries. Mm-hmm. Live Nation is phenomenal because Live Nation is everywhere. It's in every, you know, almost every country in the world, own and operate venues. And when you look at where the live music business is going, just, you know, to sort of piggyback on what you stated before, Ari, you know, the music, the live ticketing business is larger than it has ever been, you know, really bounced back since COVID, since 2020 and 2021. 2022, we're selling tickets at a higher rate on a per quarter basis than we did in 2019. And 2019 was the largest year ever. So now 2022 is on track to be the largest year ever for Live Nation and for live events. So we're all the way back. You know, if you are an artist, that's why I go back to what we talked about earlier. It's so important to, you know, try to, you know, build relationships with those local bookers and those local promoters, because there's probably a festival in every major market now. And as you start building your name up in some of these smaller venues, there's absolutely an opportunity to be on one of the, you know, quote unquote, smaller stages or second or third stage of fill in the blank festival in that particular market to start out with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's a great tip, because it's kind of like, you know, somebody could get super strategic about it and say, all right, what is the smallest Live Nation venue in my city? All right, I'm going to go play that. And then they rent, you know, and then you kind of work your way up. You get known by those Live Nation talent buyers for that venue. Because just to break it down a little bit further, you know, some of my friends are talent buyers at venues here in LA, Live Nation venues. And, you know, they have a Live Nation email. They're technically an employee of Live Nation, even though they might work at the Echo, for instance, or whatever, you know, a 350 cap venue, but they have those venues all over the country. And so, but then you can kind of work your way up. It's just like, you know, you jump from this venue to the bigger one, to the bigger one, to the festival, potentially. So for those artists that, you know, might be wanting to kind of break in, or let's say they want to book a tour, let's say they can draw 400 people in their hometown market, you know, what would you advise an artist when you think they're ready to tour, or how to go about it? Is step one like get a booking agent, or what do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, for me, one, I mean, it depends. It really depends on how savvy that artist is, and or if the artist has a manager. So let's start there. Okay. Does the artist have a manager who has some, you know, abilities, or even, I don't want to, or relationships. You don't even necessarily have to have all the relationships if you have a bit of savvy as a manager and you can understand who you need to reach out to and stay consistent with reaching out, because 9 times out of 10, the people you're reaching out to will not answer on the first time, maybe not even the second time. There are those that quit, and there are those that keep going and keep persisting. And I think it's important to do that in this industry, because there are so many artists that are trying to break through. How do you separate yourself from the from the clutter?
Nice.
So that's the first thing. Do you have a manager? If you do, and you're able to have a booking agent, the booking agent is still very important, particularly for emerging artists. I would argue, and this is where I hope none of my booking agent friends are watching this or listening to this, but if they are, I'll deal with it. The booking agent is not as important when you're Beyonce, when you're Madonna, when you're U2, because you can negotiate your own deals. You can, you know, at that point, we need you as a promoter, you know, to perform in our arenas or stadiums at that level. We don't necessarily need a booking agent, but where that booking agent is going to win is if you are emerging, or if you're a mid-tier or an artist that really doesn't understand what it means to route a tour. What are those venue relationships? Because the booking agents have that relationship with the bookers, with the Live Nation, with the other sort of promoters in the world. So that's two: manager, booking agent. But then as an artist, you have to want to show up. And what I mean by that is not just the performance, it's rehearsing. It's making sure that you're prepared to have a good show. It's making sure that you have great show elements in place. You know, there are some artists that get on stage in particular genres and they just perform, you know, they get up with a microphone and they just do their song. There's nothing to it. There's nothing that makes me want to, why am I listening to this and not just picking up my phone and listening to you on Spotify? How do you make that live experience very important and significant? And I think that's on the artist. And if they, you know, if they get into the point, gotten to the point where they have a creative manager, great. But really that creativity from the artist has to shine through, and building a strong team around that artist.
You mentioned it as maybe just a throwaway term, but you said live experience. And I think the second word, the experience, is so crucial that I don't think we talk about enough, and I don't think artists think about enough, is you are creating an experience, and you're creating an experience. And what do you want that experience to be? Because you're essentially performing from the moment you walk in the venue, whether you like it or not. And all eyes are on you if you're the artist. And then from the moment you step on stage to the moment you step off stage, that's your show. What are you doing in between the songs? What are you doing when the intro's going? What are you doing, you know, at the end? that if you haven't worked out that entire set from the moment you step on to the step off, you're dropping the ball. And we've seen artists that, you know, and these are some of the greener ones that it takes some time to learn that, where, you know, they might sing great, or they might rap great, or they might be good at the song. And then when the song stops, they're like, they turn into this like meek little shy person that they don't know what to do. Should we start the next song? You know, it's like, no, that's part of the performance.
I'll say this, 60 to 90 minutes, which is generally the timing of a headline performance for an artist, can be one of the longest 60 to 90 minutes ever if you're not performing at a certain level, or can be the quickest, most amazing 60 to 90 minutes ever if you are doing what you're supposed to do as an artist. You know, there are some people that are not in the industry that will say, well, man, artists make a lot of money and they just get up on stage for an hour or for 90 minutes before. And I'm like, no. They don't just get up on stage. They are entertaining hundreds of thousands of people at one time. And I don't know if you understand, I argue with two people if we have one or two differences. You're dealing with thousands of people, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're, you know, a garbage, you know, man, whether you are a firefighter, you are dealing with so many individuals at once. And you are connecting everyone through their love and passion for you as an artist. Do not forget about your artistry and who you are to each and every one of your fans. And I think when you think about that and really think it through, that's when the artists that really shine and they shine the brightest.
So well put. I mean, it's who you are, like you said, who you are as an artist to them. Because the thing is like you said, keep going back to the song that somebody hears on TikTok is forgettable and they might not know who the artist is. But what if they do choose to take that next step and jump in and go to your Instagram or go to your Spotify and dip their toes into it? Why are they going to follow you for life? Why are they going to follow you for this week, let alone for life? But what is going to inspire them? Because if you know who you are as an artist and you stand for something, then that is going to inspire them to follow you, to be part of this community that you're cultivating as an artist. And then when they go to your show and you elevate that and you bring the community together, that's what's going to make them lifelong fans. But if you just have one cool song, that's not going to make them follow you. They'll put that on a playlist and then forget about you next week.
Exactly. It's about authenticity as an artist. It's also, and I mentioned this before, and this isn't a throwaway either. It's about practicing your craft, not just practicing in the studio, but practicing on that stage and really honing your live experience. Because here's the thing, and I say practice makes perfect. It may not be a great example, but I don't want, you know, if I have a serious surgery, I don't want the doctor that this is their first surgery. I want the doctor who's been doing this, you know, a few times before they get on and do the surgery for me. And that's the same way with music. I want somebody that really cares about it and has practice and understands what they're giving to the audience and to their audience, because it's their fans. And that's why, you know, it's such a disservice when artists don't take the time to really perfect that, because you're not just doing it for strangers, or you might be doing it for the friend of your fan. But be clear, the majority of the people in that room are there really for you.
Absolutely. And it's like they want you to do a great job. They've paid the ticket price. They're there for you, to support you. And that's why it's so much easier for artists, musicians on stage to tell jokes than it is for comedians. Because they're already on your team. They're there to support you. They're there for the music. And you can just make, you know, you can crack half jokes and they're going to laugh because they're there for you. Right. They want to have a good time. And if you make them uncomfortable or you don't really bring it, not only are they going to be disappointed, they're going to be embarrassed because they brought their friends and they kind of rallied the group together to come take a chance on this artist that they don't know about. And now they're embarrassed because they brought their friends. And you know, and so you don't want to do that to your fans. You don't want to do that. And that's how you get it to grow. And so, like you said, practice, you got to practice. That's great. Well put. Cool. Well, Brandon, this has been, so illuminating. We packed so much into this and you've dropped so many endless gems. I've been taking furious notes, and I think everyone who's listening to this has been taking very active notes. I have one final question that I ask everyone who comes on the show, and that is, what does it mean to you to make it in the new music business?
For me, it means that you have embraced innovation, but also for me, it means that you've taken time for yourself. And what I mean by that is I think that the work we do is always 24/7. I say we're on call like a doctor. I've used the doctor analogy twice, but we're on call like a doctor, sometimes without the salary. It's always on because artists always need things on a 24-hour basis. Mm. But I also want to make sure in this new music industry, in this new paradigm post-COVID, that we're actually monitoring ourselves. I don't even like the term work-life balance. I just call it life balance, and work is a part of it, because you already give work more power than life when you put it in front of it. And so when I say that you are an executive or you're just starting up, continue to put the work in, but you have to work on yourself as well, because it's going to make you a better executive. It's going to make you a better leader to embrace everything that's coming and make sure that you embrace the innovation that's here, because it's not going anywhere. We didn't even get into NFTs and blockchain and AI and VR and AR, but all of these technologies are going to enhance everything that we're building in the industry and enhance the artist and the fan experience. And I'm excited about that as well. So the consumer experience and your own life experience and making sure that they come together in a beautiful, organic way.
Brandon, thank you. That was great. Thank you so much. Today's episode was edited by Maxton Hunter, theme music by Brassroots District, and produced by all the great people at Ari's Take. This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com.